Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We are located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Wednesday to you. And you know what that means? It's church tonight. We look forward to our midweek service here at Bible Baptist Church. We meet at 6:30 Wednesday evening. We have a fully staffed nursery. We have children's clubs that meet for all school-age children. Then teenagers on up are in the auditorium with us. We always have great singing. We have a missionary letter that's read each week of the many missionaries we support. Then we have a prayer guide we give out, and a man leads us in prayer, our prayer time together. And then we have a study of God's Word. Always. Just always seems to be what we need right in the middle of the week. Great time to get together with the people of God. If you're not a Wednesday night Christian, become one in 2024 and get yourself to church on Wednesday night. You'll be amazed how much it'll help you in your Christian walk in the middle of the week. Now, if your Bible's nearby, Luke 16. I want to ask you a question today after we read this passage, Luke 16, beginning in verse 1. Then he said, that's Jesus, also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one his Lord's debtors unto him. And he said unto the first, how much owest thou my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commanded the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? All right, and we'll stop there. And this one, a very unusual parable that Jesus told. And many, I should say, Bible teachers or scholars just ignore it and go right over it. They call it the crooked manager, the employee who cooked the books a little bit for his employer. He kind of used some crooked means to collect what he could. But it's a parable about money, which isn't surprising. 38 parables Jesus told, and 19 of them deal with handling possessions. There's 16 times more verses in the New Testament on handling money than there are about baptism. And baptism's important. The Lord's table is important. But there's 32 times more biblical statements about Christian financial management than about the Lord's Supper. And if Jesus had that much to say about it, we'd better pay attention. And so what I want to ask you today is, can God trust you? I know normally we talk about, are you trusting God? We're to trust in the Lord with all our heart. But now we'll flip the script, so to speak, and say, wait a minute, can God trust you? When it comes to handling God's money, God's resources, how much can he trust you? Now let's look at this parable here today, all right? The parable, the example of this, what we call the crook. I mean, really, the moral of the story is found in the last sentence. In other words, this manager was a cunning and conniving, dishonest guy. But he was shrewd. When he learned he was about to lose his job, he decided to cover his own assets. He went to the best customers and gave them deep discounts on what they owed his boss. Why? Well, obviously, after he's kicked out of his company for mismanagement, he would go to one of those customers who owed him a favor, and hopefully they'd remember his action and give him a job. When he came to be fired, even his boss said, I've got to hand it to you. You're cunning and you're devious, but get out of my sight. And he liked him, but he wasn't going to keep him. You hear the expression in business, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Hey, I owe you one, or you owe me one. Now, Jesus isn't about here to suggest that we use any kind of dishonest business practice, but he is saying we can learn from the clever way people operate. Jesus recognizes only two types of people in the world. The whole human race divided into two groups. Some he called people of this world, and others are called people of the light. You're in one of those two groups, my friend. People who don't have a personal relationship with God through Christ are people of the world. This present world is not all there is. There's another world. This world is temporary. The other world is eternal. This world is physical. The other world is spiritual. Millions of people live their lives as if this world was all there will ever be. And so they devote their entire lives to getting ahead in this world and accumulating all the things of this world that will make them feel comfortable or successful. But on the other hand are the people of light who have a personal relationship with God. The Bible says God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We live in this world, but we know this world is not all there is. We never feel really comfortable in the world because it's not our home. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. In spite of this, Jesus said we can learn to be a little shrewder in the ways of the world without becoming like the world. Oftentimes, Christians, sadly, can be the most gullible, naive folks around and can be taken advantage of. The reason that we may need a little dose of this worldly wisdom is because we have to live and operate in a world filled with dishonest and crooked people. Notice the crooked manager here in the parable was shrewd as a snake, and he was guilty of sin. But what do we learn? Well, we learn he was facing a deadline, he formulated a plan, and he acted before the opportunity was gone. Well, we're also facing a deadline. Do you have a plan to influence your world before that deadline, before you let the opportunities pass by? Are we learning to be wise in the ways of the world? We have to remain as harmless as doves. But in like every other command in the Christian life, it's impossible without the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is just getting started. He's not just talking about the example of this crook. He's talking about some money lessons that we learn. All right, what are we learning? Jesus used a parable about this crooked man to give us four practical principles about handling money. We know These teachings are about money because of the reaction of the Pharisees. The Bible says in verse 14, the Pharisees derided him. They made fun of him. They mocked him. See, sometimes you hear people say, well, money is the root of all evil. No, that's not true. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. The craving for money is the problem. And so we know folks who have no time for God because they're busy going after the almighty dollar, are spending it. Years ago, the Wall Street Journal ran this statement, money is an article which may be used as a universal passport to everywhere except heaven, and a universal provider of everything except happiness. Now that, my friend, is pretty sound financial advice. Now here's the money lessons that Jesus would have us to learn from this parable. Number one, your best investment is in people that you'll see in heaven. Your best investment is in people you see in heaven. He said, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Jesus is saying we need to be clever in using our money so the end result will be seeing people in heaven. You can't buy your salvation and you can't buy anybody else's salvation. And you can't buy true friends. But remember how the crooked manager used his discounts to influence his customers so they would receive him favorably after he lost his job. Well, in the same way, we should use our resources, our money, to influence people for Christ. The best way to do that is when you give your money for missions, for evangelism, for the radio, for a big day, for the newspaper, whatever. Giving your money for the cause of Christ. One day your money will be gone, or you'll be gone from your money. So while you have opportunity, use your money to influence people so that you're living, when you're living in the eternal dwellings of heaven, there'll be friends there to welcome you. Understand? We'll come back to this towards the end of the message. But your best investment is in people you'll see in heaven. Now, number two, here's the second lesson. Your management of God's money determines if he can trust you with true riches. You know, Jesus mentions here there's two kinds of wealth. First, there's worldly wealth. That's the money God gives to each of us. Remember, all the wealth in the world belongs to God. He owns all the diamonds, all the gold, all the oil wells. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills as well. He's the one who causes us to prosper with wealth. God gives us wealth so we can meet our basic needs. We buy food, clothing, and shelter. And he gives us wealth beyond that, well beyond our basic necessities. That's bonus wealth. And God has promised to take care of his children. And he does more than take care of us. When I speak of someone who's wealthy, what do you envision? You think of somebody like Bill Gates or Donald Trump or someone millionaire, but you don't usually think of yourself as wealthy. But if you have money in your pocket to buy lunch, if you have indoor plumbing, if you drove your own car today to work or you'll drive it to church, did you know you're wealthier than 80% of the world's population? That's worldly wealth, but it too comes from God. But the main reason that Jesus gives us the worldly wealth test is he wants to see how much we manage the kind of wealth that he wants to give us. He calls it the true riches. If you're trustworthy with a little, God knows you can be trusted with a lot. In other words, if he can trust me with the worldly riches, he can trust me with the true riches. True riches have nothing to do with money. They're spiritual riches, like peace, security, and strength. In fact, they're so valuable, they can't be bought at any price. The question is, are you managing God's money wisely? Will you manage it wisely in 2024? Are you giving the Lord his tithe? The tithe is still the Lord's. It all belongs to him, but he only requires we give back 10% to demonstrate we trust him. Somebody said, if I was making $1 million, I'd be happy to give God 10% of it. Can I tell you something? If you're not tithing on the $30,000 you make now, What makes you think God would trust you to give you $1 million? You see, it's not about tithing. It's about trusting. Do you believe God can be trusted when he speaks in Malachi 3:10 about bring you in all the tithes in the storehouse and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there won't be room enough to receive it? Now, if you don't believe that and you think God isn't honest about that, then don't trust him. Don't give to him. You don't think he has the ability to do what he says, then don't trust him with the tithe or the offering. But if you think God is trustworthy, then go ahead and start trusting him by returning that money to him. Well, listen, our time's up for today. I'm going to have to carry this over to tomorrow, okay? Will you come back? Let's come back and finish this up on Thursday as we learn about, can God trust me? All right. Thanks for listening to Words to Encourage Radio. Until tomorrow, this is Brother Slaybaugh reminding you, be good to everyone. Because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile, a bright sunny smile.